Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS Foodie Chap. Olivetto Cafe and Bar, Berkeley, California. Bob Klein. Bob, good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Really good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah. You know, my nose led me here today.
The pizza oven. It's a good nose.
Let's go back in time. 35 years ago, when you opened these doors, what did you imagine Olivetto would be? What did you imagine this restaurant would become?
Yeah, I had actually, as I told you, I'd worked for TV.
Yeah,
I was a producer at Channel 5. I worked really hard. I did really well. I got a new boss I hated.
That happens.
Yeah.
Love my boss, though.
No, your boss is great. Yeah. And I said, Maggie, we should, you know, have our own business. You know, we wanted to be free of, you know, that's a joke. But anyway, that was the start. I talked her into it. She was, you know, we'd have friends for dinner, and they'd go, oh, you're such a great cook. You should own a restaurant. We were stupid and stubborn enough to do it, you know. So we started it, but we had no experience, no knowledge. It was just like, boom.
What was your mission? What was your thinking? 1986 on College Avenue. What was here? And what did you hope this restaurant would become when you opened back then?
So Maggie had written a book about olive oil, and she had worked for Ag Publications, and and there were no Italian restaurants. It was American Italian. It was veal parmesan, spaghetti and meatballs, and we had been to Italy and thought that it would be great. And originally, the idea was actually not just Italian, but a olive oil base, you know, Southern Europe, and. And then we just started and hired a chef and built the thing out, did business plans.
Because you're right here, Keith and College, the BART station right by you. What was this strip like in 1986? Take us back there. What was here? What was the sense of community here?
Well, it was more working class. So, it's much more college and college oriented and people work in the city and all that. But it was, you know, this neighborhood was more working class. And but there was always this sort of strong Cal, you know, UC Berkeley, well-educated, people who knew food and had a passion for it. So we've been really lucky with, you know, the neighborhood.
Yeah. And, you know, people have used that, you know, phrase farm to table. And we know Chez Panisse, Alice Waters, I mean, she just spoke about it, and she brought what she knew from France, from Italy. I know you from your travels discovered that many years ago, too. But you were doing the whole thing with fresh ingredients early on, market-driven.
Yeah, and in part because my background was really TV journalism and, you know, the kind of curiosity that you have as a you know, that sort of drives things.
Yeah.
And so when we got into it, it was sort of like, and you see restaurants come along and trends happen and you know, an Asian influence or, you know, and we just thought, well, to stay fresh and to stay interesting, just get deeper.
Yeah.
That there's something almost self-defeating about a trend. A trend sort of suggests that it won't be here next year.
Yeah.
And if it won't be here next year, why bother thinking about it now? Well, and why not just actually find something that is really worthwhile and really deep instead of get into that.
Sure.
So we spent time in Italy. Mm. I've done tons of videos, actually, of winemakers and rice growers and farmers and, you know, in Italy and then also here.
Let's talk about some dishes, some classics, some can't take off the menu dishes. Early on, what were the first sort of half dozen items you said had to be on this menu at our new restaurant?
Oh, God, that's so hard from the beginning. This has always been sort of a chef-driven restaurant.
Yeah.
Chefs like to change.
Yeah.
And Maggie and I went along with it, and we went, you know, okay, so somebody would come in here in the early days, and they would have a dish, and then they'd come back, and it wouldn't be there, and be like, oh, we'll find something else that's good, you know.
Yeah.
Right now, I think that, you know, probably the dish that is sort of like most loved is spaghetti, you know, spaghetti with a neri noodle, squid ink noodle. With shrimp.
Your pizzas are knockout. Let's talk about your pizzas, Bob.
So
and the grains you use.
Yeah, so we use whole grain. We use, yeah, you know, local farm community grains, wheat to make the pizza. The pasta you were having actually is whole grain also.
Wow.
The major mission right now is to sort of recast whole grain as something that, you know, you got to eat because it's delicious.
Yeah. Well, and maybe better for you?
Well, it's totally better for you.
Yeah.
You know, you've got scores of studies that say that age-related diseases, dementia, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, are you have better outcomes with whole grain consumption.
Yeah.
And more than that, if the wheat is coming from soil that is nutrient rich, it matters.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think there's, you know, increasing data that suggests that.
Yeah.
And one more thing.
Yes. One more thing.
One more thing. This whole idea of nutrients,
yeah,
sounds like medicine. But the truth is, that's where the flavor is.
Yeah.
And then when you take the nutrients out, you also end up with a flat food.
Sure.
And so you have a flat food, and so you put sugar and butter and salt on it and mm-hmm. try to give it flavor. But in fact, if you don't do that, if you just take the food with the nutrients,
yeah,
it's actually delicious.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's why people come back here time and time again, and did for 35 years. I came here a number of times to your truffle dinners. I know you embarked on some truffle journeys, Italy and France, I'm assuming too, or always Italy.
Yeah, just Italy. The white truffles are Italian.
And they're superior. They are, yeah. The bottom line. So talk to me about those truffle dinners. I know I'm going to miss them, but people came from far and wide, locals, but people came from far and wide for those truffle dinners. They were very special.
So truffles, truffles are wonderful. And there's a there was a mystique about them. So you'd go to a truffle dinner, and you'd spend an arm and a leg, and there'd be a guy with a white toque and suits, and it was all very white glove. And
yeah.
And when I started going to Italy and working, you know, I'd stay with the truffle hunter, and they come right out of the ground.
Yeah.
And then you brush off the dirt.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so it's just so miscast mm-hmm. to make it. To give it that pomp.
And yet...
And that's what we tried to do, is to sort of strip that and just make it really simple, really straightforward. And we would bring in a lot of truffles. People would line up for them, and so that allowed us to bring the price way down.
Yeah.
So you could come in and, you know, sort of thing, you'd go to the table with a truffle, and people would be paying, you know, $6 to $12 a gram.
Yeah.
And at $12, it's not so much fun.
No.
At $6, you go, oh, I'll take some more.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And so the whole thing was sort of like to have that life to it. Yeah.
I mentioned community, and this restaurant, Olivetta, for many, many years, 35, has been at the heart of this community. People have come here for a casual bite to eat at the bar on a Tuesday night, but also for those big occasions, for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, you name it. What will you miss most about the community? And the community that was part of the elevator experience.
So it was, you know, when we put the notice out 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, we thought there would be response, but it was astounding. And not just customers, but staff too. You know, you have this place, and it started 35 years ago, but the Bay Area kind of launched the food movement 35 years ago. It's not just this restaurant. It's the farmers who, you know, 35 years ago, we did a tomato festival. We cleared out this room, and we had farmers all over. This was before farmers markets.
Sure. Yeah.
And we had 100 tomatoes here, 100 different varieties. And so people would go up, and those tomatoes were not as good as they are now, because the farmers didn't know how to grow them.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were for, and so a language developed, and people got really good. And when you go someplace else in the world, like I spent some time in Ireland, you might know Ireland.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph Dway. Yes, yeah. I do.
and I was like, you know, I was coming from Mecca.
Yeah.
It's like, this is where a lot of stuff happened in food, and that's part of why people kind of turned on here, staff and people, because it was a place to discover a lot of things that were being discovered at that time. But, you know, we kind of highlighted them. And
then, Bob, think about the careers. I mean, I know without Olivetta, there probably wouldn't be a Delfina, a Flower and Water, a lot of young chefs. I know we're inspired by what was happening here. So your tentacles go far and wide from here. And you've got to feel in some way like a bit of a proud papa, knowing that you made a mark on the lives of so many and families.
I mean, I think Maggie and I both feel very proud about all that. At the same time, we do feel like we were part of something larger. And we were a good place for that to develop. And I mean, really get these amazing letters and emails and notes. And I mean, it's extraordinary.
What was the most surprising? What's the one that sticks out? The person who showed up or made that call or sent that letter?
I got a letter yesterday from Latvia, television personality in Latvia, who's, you know, spent a summer here as our host, spent some time at our house. And I think just, you know, how many and how it's all a surprise in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all a surprise.
Well, for a guy who actually was a partner in a restaurant just for a couple of years, up until just a couple of years ago, I'm glad I did it. But when you're in this business, it moves so quickly, moves so fast. You probably don't have a lot of time to reflect and to really take stock. But now you are. And I'm sure 35 years, I'm sure there are days when you're feeling it. Did it go by quickly? Do you pinch yourself? Is it surprising that 35 years did pass?
I've never had any sense of time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how old I am. I don't feel any older than I did, you know, whenever.
Yeah.
But in the area of reflection, I do hope that there are restaurants like this that continue, that people live their lives in.
Yeah.
And I don't see that as often.
Mm.
And I don't think, the Wikipedia age, the people who get their facts from their phone, understand how deep the roots of good food are in this area, and what that meant, and how important it is to keep it alive.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, what would you say to the person listening to this, who's thinking about embarking on a journey as a chef in a restaurant? And we've been through, and we're still in the middle of this thing, the toughest couple of years the hospitality industry has had, the farming industry, the food industry. But there are still those with ambition who have it in their bones to be chefs, to be cooks, to run their own restaurant. So what would you whisper in the ear of that budding chef to hear her?
Well, we didn't, you know, when people told us we were nuts, we didn't listen. And they're not going to, you know, it's just like, you know, it's if you have that passion and that idea and you want to do it, you know, you sort of have to do it.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, there's no wisdom that I can impart. It's there's a winemaker that I really respect, and Aldo Baca in Barbaresco, and so in talking about, in this case we're talking about winemakers, but apropos to chefs also, is that, you know, how do you know whether you are doing something great or blowing smoke? And so he would say, you have to be very skilled. You have to know the basics. You have to have talent, and you need humility. And it's the humility that allows you to look inside, listen to other people, and see whether, in fact, there's something there. Is there something there, or are you just blowing smoke? And so I'm all for that. I'm for those three things.
Words to live by. Let me tell you, in the restaurant industry, you're humbled each and every day,
yeah.
And you're only good as the last night of service.
Yeah. You know, but then there are those who are not humble and who are able to push through with that vibrato, and many of them have the talent.
Yeah.
You know, and some don't.
Yeah. Bob, last question. It's the Last Supper question. Your last meal with your lovely wife. You can invite a couple of friends, dead or alive, famous or infamous, no family members. What will you eat? What will you drink? And who will be those couple of extra guests sitting at the table with you?
Oh, that is a painful question.
Yeah, it is.
So I just had a birthday, and Maggie said, what do you want?
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I said, cassoulet. So she made this, you know, she did the Richard Olney cassoulet, which is like 3 days of classic.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, painful. And I'm still trying to digest it.
What were you going to drink?
Yeah, so I don't know how to answer that question.
Well, you just did. But if you could have a couple of guests, who would they be?
Well, it would be a combination of old friends and new friends. And people who, I mean, actually, the grain world is really interesting. You know, the farmers are quite amazing, and there's a scientist we work with who's quite amazing. And I think the thing that's interested to me is when something is alive, when the topic is alive. You know, when you're not.
Yeah.
You know, you can't talk about politics now. You can't talk about. You know, I mean, it's like there's so many topics you can't talk about anymore because it drives you nuts.
Sure. Yeah.
So
you want to keep the blood pressure down.
All right. So I talk about wheat.
Well, listen, I'm sorry. I lied to you. This wasn't your last question. I do actually have two more questions.
Oh, good. Okay.
And
okay.
So
we're on a roll.
I do have to ask you about the world of wheat because you are fully ingrained.
Thank you.
Tell me about that world and about what it is that you're doing exactly and why this has become such a passion of yours.
Yeah, I'm a... So we started probably 10 years ago in a real casual way, you know, just being curious about wheat, hadn't seen it grow. The first wheat field I saw actually was in Ireland at Ballymaloe.
Oh, my God. And it's a beautiful sight. My best memories are summers running through the wheat fields.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
when the wheat's taller than me.
Back
in the day, because it was.
Back in the day. Yeah. And right. Now they're miniature.
Yeah.
So, and so it was a process of understanding that, in fact, wheat had become an industrial product and had become unhealthy and just full of misinformation. And so we started out to create a complete alternative system.
Mm.
And so we pay attention to the varieties that we grow, and we have very close relationship with farmers, and we know what they're doing to the soil.
Yeah.
I think most of, you know, some of those innovative things that happen now are really at the farm level.
Sure.
And we mill whole grain, and we have a scientist who who created a test for whether something is actually whole grain when it says it is.
Yeah.
And for the most part, the things that say they're whole grain are not. You know, you go buy a box of pasta and it has 100% seal on it, 10.7%.
Wow.
Something's up. They're not breaking any laws.
Yeah.
And it's like the world's most important food that got trashed.
Sure.
Yeah. And so we're trying to, you know, take it out of the take it out of the gutter and make it what I think it is.
It's a great opportunity to educate, and clearly so many people need to be, because what they're being fed or the information they're being given is misleading and untrue.
Yeah.
And not, as you said, not illegal, but still untrue.
Yeah. I mean, it is shocking once you get into how problematic this is.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, we're active in every area, in, you know, in like good food, and Josie Baker, you know, makes great bread.
Yeah.
And
that was my question. Where can people find the wheat that's been sourced by you? Where does it show up? What bakeries, what restaurants?
So Josie Baker, the mill, there's a great local guy named Base Camp. He's in the farmer's markets. There's a guy in Richmond. I'll think of it in a minute. I think it's Harbor Bay, something. I can't remember his name. There's a website. Community Grains has our bread and pastas and flours and that sort of thing.
Well, I'll put a link up to a couple of the sites. And the last question, Bob, I have to ask you. We're here today. I came over because I wanted to just come over and say thank you for the many truffle dinners and for being so kind to us and hosting us many years ago for Eye in the Bay. And I heard you were closed and then you were open again, but just in a fast, casual way. So I know you're serving pizza downstairs, sandwiches, and we came in for lunch today. So how long are you going to remain open in this form?
So there's dinner too. There's a decent dinner at night. You know, you can get a good duck confit. Yeah.
Now they tell me. What?
Yeah. Well, at night, you got to come at night.
Yeah.
And so we're open six nights, closed Sundays. We imagine we'll be able to open Sunday soon as we get staffing. And it's indefinite, probably on the order of 2 or 3 months. And we're doing this as sort of an interim until there's a new owner.
So the plan is and hope is that this space will be reborn, reimagined.
Yeah.
And it will...
It'll be delicious. It'll be great.
You heard it from the man himself. Bob, I hope, I know...
And they'll probably use truffle dinner.
Well, listen, I hope they do, because, again, my nose will lead me here.
Yeah.
Bob, thanks for all the good times.
Really good to see you.
You too,
yeah,
always.
You.
Friends, Bob Klein, the story behind Oliveto Cafe and Bar Restaurant. It's on College Avenue. Are we in Berkeley or are we in Oakland here?
We're right on the Oakland border. We're in Oakland. We're right across from the BART station.
There you go. Easy to get to. All right. All you need to know at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 oh. O'Reilly.